so many people. Are not even saved in the church. Religious but lost. This is nothing new. This starts back in the early days. False brethren. And Paul called them false brethren. And Dr. David Jeremiah said recently that there are many people who are in the church and they claim to be saved, but they're not walking with the Lord like Enoch did and like Noah did. And I believe we have a whole lot of folk like that. And because of that, what we do by our sinful nature is we make idols, as they did in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We make idols of things. We make idols of material things. We make idols of money. It's all about the almighty dollar. I met a brother one time who seemed to be rather very devout, but very dedicated, and only God knows. But he revealed to me through his words that he was really all about the money, all about business. And even used the Bible to try to convince me that's what it's supposed to be about in this life. And some make idols out of people, out of a certain woman or a certain man that they are interested in and would do anything for. They sing songs like "I Will Kiss the Ground You Walk On" and other such foolishness. One man, he's a black guy, but he's a country singer. He just came out, and it's a beautiful song. I just happened to hear it early one morning while I was flipping the channels and crossed over to the country station. And I'm a saved man. I love God. I love Jesus. But there are some country songs I kind of like. But they mention God. And even in this song, he mentioned God. He said, I'm a God-fearing man. I'm a Christian. And all of that. But he said, but I have to worship you. He was talking about his woman. And she was evidently in the video. I guess that's his wife. And they had a baby at the end there, and he said, I'm a God-fearing man, and I'm a Christian, but I have to worship you. I said, wow. See, if we're not careful, it's just in our sinful nature to make idols of things. Some of you have made idols of things online. And then one preacher read back recently, and this must be a revelation, must have been a revelation. He said that people have gone beyond making idols and becoming idols to themselves. I said, wow, I believe it. I believe that. Have you noticed the increase? Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed the increase of people worshiping themselves and molding themselves into the idol they want to be? They don't want to be the way God made them. No doubt that's one of the reasons why God is slowly but surely destroying so many people. they have become idols unto themselves. They have no fear of God before their eyes. They don't respect God anymore, to the point they get nipped and tucked and cut. And don't you get mad with me. There are people in the church doing it. And we have a tendency to make idols of things when we don't have a good, if we don't have a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we're not walking with Him. And sad to say, people are making idols of themselves. They're only concerned about themselves. Some of you have family members. They can't get it through their heads that it's not just about them. It's about God, Jesus, and others. And what has happened, especially in the South, and I know this has happened in the black community in the South, big time. God used to be first. Back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And then the civil rights, God delivered us through the civil rights movement. And so many doors started flying open, and people, just like the Israelites, after they crossed the Red Sea, they started worshiping idols, which made God very upset and very angry. And God is angry about it today. He doesn't like it at all. And that's one of the reasons why we're in the plague we're in today. And so what we did in the black community, we made the family, and there are many white families in the South the same way. Their motto is, family is everything. What's up, cuz? You know, family is everything. Family is not everything. How can family be everything? God is everything. God is the one who blessed you and put you in a family. Family should be a blessing. Family should be available if you get into a bind to get some help where you don't have to go to other people. Family ought to look out for one another. That's not always the case. In fact, there are some family members who you don't want to be bothered with because they're cutthroats and backstabbers and liars and cheats. And that's what Jesus Christ is getting at here. He said his family were those who did the will of God. Have you noticed that God is, and Jesus, they're all about God's will being done. Notice the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You hear all those thys? Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. It's all about God and what he wants done. So let's read the passage, Matthew chapter 12, as we have people standing up out of respect for the word of God, verses 46 through 50. You can stand up now since you've been so blessed. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. At least they were a respectful bunch, the family. They didn't just barge in like some family members. Well, that's my brother, that's my uncle, that's my daddy. I can come in anytime. No, honey, child, no, you can't. No, I'm talking to some other people right now. You have to wait. You have to stand without. That means stand out there until I get through. And it's okay to deal with family like that, particularly family that's not doing God's will. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren. No doubt this man was, you know, thinking that this was quite important, and it was. And they stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Now I want you to notice something that Jesus Christ did not do. He did not stop his preaching and teaching, encouraging, exhorting the people of God to go out and run out and talk with the family, or let the family interrupt him. That ought to be a sign to you right there. We got these pastors today and these CEOs today, instead of being a father at home, they have an open door policy for anybody in their family, their children, to interrupt board meetings. Just come on in anytime. If my child comes, I tell you, I got to stop what I'm doing. Even if I'm cutting a deal, a major $1 billion deal, or whether, you know, if I'm counseling a family or whatever. No. That child needs to wait until you're done. Unless it is an emergency. Somebody got hit by a car, or somebody's been taken to the hospital. We understand that. But just for your kid to come in and say hi and hello and do that and do this, no, no. I don't know where y'all get that from. Interrupt the pastor's preaching and the pastor's teaching and all of that. We do have some family members sometimes who think they're above God in importance. There's some wives that way in our churches today. Pastors' wives are that way. Some. They think they're above God. They think they're equal with Jesus. And they're not. Pastors, you need to check her and check yourself on that. God is not pleased with that foolishness. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Now there are certain things that Jesus said regarding family and to family that some of you may think he's being rude. He's making a point. I read a scholar who said Jesus is trying to say, and I said, no, I would not say that. Jesus is not trying to say anything. He is saying it. Okay? And he said, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? He's not being disrespectful. He's letting you know that he's more concerned about God's will and people who are doing God's will. Notice the next statement. And he stretched forth his hand. Probably did like this. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. May I say to you, may I submit to you that everybody in your family is not your mother or your brother or your sister. In a real sense, not in the way Jesus Christ is talking about. Jesus' blood, yes, is thicker than family blood. That's right. I know there are many, many folk, many black folk in the South that can't stand that especially the grandmothers and the mothers who run things and rule over everybody. They can't stand that. They can't stand you getting out of line. But I want to be clear from the Word of God. The blood of Jesus is thicker than family blood all day long. And I know some of you don't like it. I know it's shocking you, but that's real talk. And I surmise, I cannot say this is the case. I hope that they were living right, but we do know now, we believe that Mary was saved at this time. How could she not be? Because she was there. She knows this is the Son of God. She knows it. The Bible says she kept these things in her heart. But those brothers, his brothers who they played with, and Jesus no doubt beat them in everything they played, they weren't saved yet. And so they were not doing the will of God at that point, at this time. The Bible tells us that. I'll share that with you later. You may be seated, by the way. So his disciples, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Those who had trusted in him and who, first of all, that is the will of God right there, number one, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's number one. You're going a long way by just believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and believing that he is the Son of God and doing his will, doing God's will, is what God is interested in. Hear me well. I know that sounds so elementary, doing the will of God. You know, we've been praying that since we've been children. I know. But that's what you better be doing. That's what God wants you to do, my dear friend. That's what Jesus wants you to do, is the will of God. I cannot press that upon you more than I am. He wants you to trust in him. And when you trust in Jesus, you trust in God. And when you trust in Jesus, he has saved your soul. And so he wants you to do his will. Jesus Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That goes for everybody in this room who names the name of Christ. That goes for everybody outside of this room. Who names the name of Christ? God is interested. Jesus Christ is very interested in your being truly saved, truly born again, and doing God's will. How are we doing? How are we doing with that? How are you doing with that? No. I didn't say anything about your husband or your wife or your children or my dear or your mother or your father or your uncle, what they're doing. Get your mind off of them. How are you doing with that? I'm talking about you. Right now, you sitting in the watch party. You sitting in the underground church in China. How are you doing? It makes no difference who you are. Those of you who are huddled in an apartment in Iran, how are you doing with that right there? Don't worry about what other people are doing. What are you doing for the Lord? Do you truly know him as Savior? Okay, great, good. I'm glad to hear that. But are you walking, in the words of Dr. David Jeremiah, are you walking with him? And may I add, are you talking with him? meaning are you obeying His commandments and obeying His will to pray without ceasing? How about it? How about it? That's not a suggestion. That's not something that you can choose not to do. You need to do that. God does not waste His breath. And by the way, all of the Word of God is inspired by God. In another place, He said, pray always, which means the same thing. Always means always, and that's all always means. Without ceasing means without ceasing, and that's all without ceasing means. But Jesus Christ started it off. He gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Are you walking with the Lord, and are you talking with the Lord? And are you talking with the Lord, and are you walking with the Lord? Are you doing the will of God right now, or are you out of the will of God? I would venture to say most people who claim to be Christians are out of the will of God. That's why we're in the mess we're in today. Don't look at the world and blame the world. Don't look at the lying politicians and blame them. Don't look at the homosexual community and the abortionists and so forth. Listen to me. God has even shut down the abortion march that was supposed to happen sometime this weekend. He shut that down. He shut your churches down. I said God did it, not the devil. God shut it down because you were not doing in the church building what God told you to do. You're not doing the will of God. Hey, don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Have you obeyed the great commandment? Loving God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Have you done that? Oh, yeah, preacher, I've done that. You're a liar. Do you love your own wife? Do you love your own husband? God gave extra commandments about that. Do you love your own children? Some of you mothers, you love your children at the school that you teach more than your own children. And some of you fathers don't love your children at all. You can care less. Some of you love your neighbor. You don't even know your neighbor. The way things go in America is all of us would rather not know our neighbor. We think it's a great thing that we don't know our neighbor. We're so evil and we're so wicked. So don't come with that. The other reason why I know you don't love your neighbor, when have you witnessed to your neighbor? When have you told them about Christ? That leads to the second commandment that you're breaking, the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. When was the last time you witnessed to anybody? When was the last time you told anybody about Jesus? When was the last time you even gave somebody a gospel pamphlet, a gospel tract? Are you doing the will of God for real? Did you do the will of God today? Are you doing it right now? Or are you engaged in some illicit Sunday evening sex with a mask on? Like so many, I've been told, so many so-called Christians are doing. Dr. Charles Spurgeon said, Jesus does not reject the tender ties of His human nature, but He exhibits their true position as secondary to the spiritual bonds which united Him to the spiritual family. Now that's deep. I hope that you're getting it. Some of you may have to get that by freight. those who are related to Jesus by the bonds of discipleship, had in this the truest union with him. All believers in Jesus are of the royal family of God. Princes and princesses of the blood, brothers and sisters of the Christ. And that has to be deeper than your family. You understand? Let's be real about it. Some of us are closer to our true Christian brethren and sisters in Christ than we are to our own flesh and blood. You know why? Because our true Christian brothers and sisters in Christ are striving to do God's will, and we got some knucklehead family members that are not. They want, every time they get together, they want to party. Where's the party at? And they look at you with those devilish, strange eyes when you say anything about the Lord. They're a group. They run in a group in the family. You can have a family reunion. You're going to have the devil side. Y'all don't hear me. Oh, yes. And they're going to bring all their devilment to the family reunion, knowing that grandmama and them, they're not about that. And the aunts and the uncles, they might have been about that back in the day, but they're not about that anymore. And then you're going to have some out-and-out Christian folk who got saved, who are cousins, who look strange to them. And birds of a feather flock together. At the family reunion, cliques be happening automatically. This group right here smokes reefer. This group right here gets drunk. This group right here is trying to find the party. This group right here is trying to find the hookup. Asking stupid questions. How far down this cousin is right here? The fourth cousin, fifth cousin? What's up with that? I was confused. You devils. And then you got the true Christian, they sitting over there talking and about the goodness of the Lord. That's just two different Christian groups. Now you got the old heads who may not even know the Lord, but they're religious and they're trying to be respectable. But you got the younger group, they went off somewhere from Mount Nebo Baptist Church and truly got saved, and they came back and they connect like that because they're truly born again. And if they can't find some truly born again ones in the family reunion, they'll go to a church where they know the word of God is being preached to get some relief from the devils and the hypocrites. I know what I'm talking about. And so, ladies and gentlemen, in our last message in this series, we saw how Jesus made it clear that God, Jesus, and the Lord's work must come first before our family members. Makes no difference. Jesus has already established this, and he's real big on this, because you know why? He's big on it because he knows the pull and the power of family. I told you that the reason why Abraham became great and the father of faith. By the way, all three of the major, largest faiths point back to Abraham. They all honor him. But he became the father of faith because God called him away from his family, his father and mother and them sisters and brothers and everybody. He said, yeah, I got to get you. See, I got to get you away from your family. Because God knows the pull and power of family. by the way, is not always for Christians. It's not always a blessing to stay with family or to stay near family. I believe it's healthy if it's healthy for family members to be apart once it's time for them to be apart. Because serving the Lord is something you need to do from your heart. And you ought not to be encumbered by others and what others might be doing or not doing. You need to know the Lord for yourself. I touched on this morning. I'm so thankful to the Lord that my three oldest children, who have graduated from college and got jobs and gone on, I'm thankful that they serve the Lord. They're serving the Lord on their own. They don't have to. I'm not in a position to make them do that now. But they're serving the Lord on their own. They're not perfect. But they read their Bibles. They pray. They go to church when the church is available nowadays. They're managing this plague quite well, being on their own. They were with me when I predicted the plague was coming. So they know how serious this is, because I predict they didn't. I didn't know why God had me saying those things. And they didn't pay that much attention to it. But when it happened, they remembered it. I just heard, by the way, from my son, oldest son, today. And my heart was blessed that he said, "Papa, I was reading in the Bible," and he read something in the Bible that really excited him, and that blesses my heart. When you have a young black man who is excited about a certain passage of scripture, and not only that, he sent me some money this week twice on his own. And he took care of some major things that we needed taken care of. He did it from his heart. My daughter, my daughters, Danny and Danita, they have done the same. My daughter, Danny, has just outdone herself. She's a little bit mad at me, but because I didn't make it to the Thanksgiving dinner this past year. That's the first time in 30 years we have not been together for Thanksgiving. Things were getting so bad around Thanksgiving, and by the way, many people are dying. 4,000 to 5,000 people are dying a day because of Thanksgiving and Christmas, traveling around and so forth. And somebody my age, I don't need to be in a situation like that. Dr. Fauci, he said that this would be the first Christmas he has not been with his daughters. I know the feeling. But Dr. Burke, bless her heart, she's a grandmother and she loves those grandchildren. But she warned everybody else, told everybody else not to go home, but she went home. Now she's fired. I can't do that. I warn everybody too. You better stay away from that this year, so that you can be here for next year, if the Lord tarries his coming, and if he lives, and if he causes the plague to disappear. And the way things are going, that is not likely, but I'm with you. I'm praying that it would all work out. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if your family tries to stop you from following Jesus and don't want you to follow his calling for your life, you must continue to love them, pray for them, and take care of them if you can. Help them as much as you can. Pray for them. But you must make it abundantly clear that Jesus Christ and the work of the Lord comes first. If you're at the family reunion and folks are saying, well, you can let that church go for one, that church stuff go for one Sunday. Why don't you just hang with us and do some hookah and drink some beer with us a little bit and watch the game. Come on, man, like you used to. No, you can't do that. You need to find a church somewhere and go to church to be an example and a light to them and say, you know, I'll tell you what, you come with me. How about that? Then I'll come back and watch the game with you. I know of a great church. They preach the word, but they get out by 12 o'clock. How about that? It's a white church, but, you know, it's still the church. And so, ladies and gentlemen, our next big point is we must look beyond our earthly family to God and to Jesus Christ and the family of God, the true born-again family of God. It is amazing that through the blood of Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit of God in each of us who are saved, how we connect. It's a wonderful and beautiful connection when we get together. Matthew 12:48-50 says, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ on this evening. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord God, I praise you and I thank you for your mercy, your love, and your grace. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years, and even today. I praise you and I thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, help every soul in here to pray, every soul out there under the sound of my voice, live and on demand, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of all of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Wash and cleanse our souls and spirits and hearts and minds in the holy and precious blood of Christ, and make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within each and every one of us who names the name of Christ. Fill us, Lord, with the fullness, the power, the unction, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, Lord, we know that you're coming back soon and that we're in the last days. But it also feels, Lord, that it may be the last days of America. Lord, there's a different vibe in the world. And certainly the love of many has waxed cold. And Lord, I do pray that you would prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us, Lord, for tragedies, for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us, Holy Father God, for weddings and funerals. Prepare us, Lord, for life and death. I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because by your grace we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. I've dealt with some of the devil's devices today, and I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. Lord, cast out those demonic characters and spirits out of the lives of the people here. Cast out the demon spirits of betrayal and sabotage, treachery, pride, stubbornness, and rebelliousness, hatred, bitterness, and anger, resentfulness, and hindrance, and distraction out of the hearts and minds, souls, and spirits of the people here and the people everywhere who name the name of Christ, and in every family that stands for you, and in every church and in every ministry. Lord, I do pray tonight, please rebuke and bind our enemy the devil and his demons and his hosts, Lord, from this time and from your people. And Holy Father God, give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Lord, we pray that lost souls would be saved in this city, in this country, and around the globe. Revive those Christians, Lord. Revive all of your true Christian people in this city, in this country, and around the globe. We pray, Holy Father God, that you would heal those who are sick here in this city, in this country, and around the globe. Lord, help everybody here and everybody out there. Lord, give everybody a heart to not only be concerned about themselves, but others. Help them to have faith in you. And Lord, we pray for all of the people tonight who are grieving like never before. Some have multiple family members. There's a basketball player who has already lost 7 family members to the coronavirus plague, including his mother, and now he has it. Lord, comfort his heart tonight. Draw all of these people by your Holy Ghost to yourself and to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and for comfort. And Lord, I do pray that you deliver each and every one of us here tonight and all other true Christians who desire to do your will. Deliver us tonight from temptation, evil, and sin. Deliver us and grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do right, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And Lord, help us all who name the name of Christ to humble ourselves tonight, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that if we do right by you, if we do what you told us to do and humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and repent and get back to you, our first love, Lord, deliver us tonight from all of our distresses and afflictions, cares and worries and anxieties and troubles and problems and fears. Help your people to not only confess the sins they committed today, but to go back maybe some years and to confess and deal with some sins that they did not divulge to you or to anybody else. It's on their minds. That's one of the reasons why they can't pray and they can't get any answers. And that's why they've fallen sick, because they've been taking communion and knowing that that sin has never been dealt with, never been confessed, never been repented of. Lord God in heaven, have your Holy Ghost to not give your people rest until we come right to you. We come in the right way to you, seeking clean hands and clean hearts through your precious blood. Make us whiter than snow on the inside. And Holy Father God, I pray tonight that you'll bless and protect, Lord, all of our families and ministries and churches that stand for you. Protect us, Lord, from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell, and from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ, and make us, Lord, to be whiter than snow on the inside. And surround us all with the band of your holy angels tonight, a wall of your holy fire. Cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ. Make us to be whiter than snow. Lord, lift our burdens, cares, worries, and anxieties from our feeble being, and fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, and your joy unspeakable. And Lord, before it's done tonight, we pray that those who don't know your Savior would hear the gospel and be saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, Jesus said, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You want to know whether or not a person is your brother or sister or your mother in the Lord? Are they doing the will of God? Why is it that some of us as Christians, so-called, we always want to gravitate to the bad element in the church? Why can't you gravitate to the people who are striving to do the right thing? Why do you want to always run with those who have not done the will of God? They're not doing the will of God now, and they don't want you to do the will of God. They want to mess your life up so they can rejoice in your failure and your sin and in your evil and your foolishness following them. Why can't you fellowship with people who are praying and reading the Bible? Why can't you fellowship with people who are doing the will of God? Why is it that good-hearted young Christians who've been raised in a Christian home always got to go find the bad element in the church? The hypocrites, the phonies, the ones who are not doing the will of God. Jesus Christ points beyond his physical mother and brothers to the spiritual family of God. And this is a real thing. It's hard. It's painful. You would love to have your family to believe in the Lord and be doing his will and not continuing in evil, even though they may be religious and in the church. That's two different things, by the way. We all have family members who are religious and lost and confused and who don't live out the Christian life. When they do mess up, they don't confess up, they don't repent. It's just an ongoing lifestyle of sin and hypocrisy and phoniness and sneakiness. They have secrets. Yes, you have an element in all families especially in the black family in the South, where there's a there's just some secret people. They got secrets. Don't you get mad with me. I know this is true. They've been conditioned to be this way, passed down from generations. And sometimes these secrets backfire. Because people don't tell the truth. And people, young people get together and get involved with somebody that's their first cousin, but they don't know. Or their half-sister, because they don't know. You know why? Because people keep secrets. Somebody better rise up and tell the truth. So many lives have been messed up with the philosophy, I'm going to take that to the grave. Family is not everything, and family can mess you up. Love your family, pray for your family, help them if you can. But in most cases, you're going to have to get away from your family to do what God has called you to do, so that you can reach back and try to win them to Christ and get them saved. Even when our earthly family rejects us, and this will happen, they rejected Jesus. The brothers didn't believe that Jesus was the Savior of the world. Can you imagine that family dynamic? That family situation. Joseph was a picture of Christ. You can see Joseph in Christ. Thanks be to God, the brothers got saved later, and one of the brothers became the Bishop of Jerusalem after the resurrection. And so they said, okay then, all right now, I believe you now. I know that's my brother right there. I believe you now. Okay, then what you want me to do? But there are family members who will reject you out of hand and will never want to have anything to do with you. But as long as you were running around drinking rum and coke and partying and jam, boogie, boogie, letting the good time roll, and running women and so forth, and cutting the food and cutting a step, oh, they're right there with you. As soon as you get saved and you follow Jesus Christ, and you're not rolling like you were when you were dumb and crazy, they look at you strange. No, I don't want no parts of that. And you will know that they have not been saved. They're just religious, because they're going to pull away from you. They're going to see you as spooky. Don't tell me, because I remember when a cousin of mine down in Florida got saved, and I remember to this day, he came. I was lost and on my way to a devil's hell and didn't know it and didn't care. I was trying to run some women and smoke some cigarettes, and I couldn't have been no more than 14 or 13. Well, you know, back in those days, we thought it was a big deal to get some cools and light them up. We thought we were really doing something bad, really evil, you know, and we were. And this beaming young man came on 12th Street, where my great-grandmother lived. The biggest house on the street. And we were outside playing some kind of ball or something, and he just walked up. He couldn't have been no more than 17, 18, 16, something like that. Man, he was shining and just beaming. And but he scared the daylights out of us. We didn't want it. And he was our cousin, first cousin. And we didn't want, I don't know where he is now. Me and my other gang family members, my gang of cousins and everything, we didn't want to have anything to do with him. We looked at that boy, he was trying to witness to us. We looked at him like he was crazy. And we were ready for him to go, because we were up to no good. And he was not going to be a part of it. So go, hurry up and say what you got to say and go. That's what the attitude was. With my gang members, or my cousin gang members. A gang of cousins, I guess you call it. So they will reject you. Earthly family members will reject you for your faith or for some other reason connected to your faith. However, we have another family, one that will never forsake us, the true family of God, who's always striving to do the will of God. And that family is not perfect either now. But there is a deeper connection through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a fact. There's some of you that I'm talking to tonight. You feel closer to your born-again Christian friends than your own family. And that's all right. You connect with them better than your own family. This is the true family of Jesus, the spiritual family of God. The people who are willing to do the will of God are striving to do the will of God, even though they may falter and fall every now and then. But we are all there to help pick them up and help them get to the point of confessing their sins and apologizing to God and making things right. Because, see, born-again Christians, they may mess up, but they confess up. I told you the other day, we all know about, everybody talks about David's great sin of adultery and murder and lying. Three major sins that he committed. But after he confessed his sin, after being confronted by the prophet, "Thou art the man." As far as we know, he repented well, because as far as we know, he never committed adultery with another woman. And even God said, "He's a man after mine own heart." So the family of God is not perfect. They're striving to do the will of God. And I'd rather be around a striving to do the will of God Christian any day over a hypocrite who will lie about their failures and sins, and over a family member who's not saved, not even trying to do the will of God, and refuses to get saved any day of the week. We are bonded to them by the blood of Jesus Christ, and it is a beautiful thing. And this is what some of the true Christians are missing by not going to the church building. The true Christians, the true born-again ones, they're really missing it. But overall, the church has failed God, and I believe God... See, you don't understand, and let me help you understand. God will take away privileges if you don't do what he tells you to do. And what I have been trying to tell preachers and pastors, you don't need to get into a fight with the government over this. This is not the government's fault. God sent this plague. Read your Bible. And the plague is against the church, because the church has failed God and has failed Jesus, and has gotten into bed with lying politicians, and has compromised the word of God, and they've gotten in bed with the homosexuals as well, and with Ashley Madison, the church, pastors. Some pastors committed suicide, respected seminary teachers, respected pastors committed suicide because they got caught on Ashley Madison. Swinging, that's all that is. And that was just the tip of the iceberg, see. And ever since the plague started, more and more have been revealed. God took away the temple, allowed it to be destroyed because the people of God were worshiping idols like so many people are today in the church. The prosperity garbage, worshiping cars and Bentleys and Mercedes and credit cards and houses. The church has never been about that, but it has been for the last 30 to 40, 50 years. And it has infected the entire church with a lie. There are two qualifying characteristics, and then we're going to close, that we notice about this family. First, Jesus uses the word whosoever. This means anyone at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Any person, wherever and whoever. It is a pity and it is a shame. And God does not like this either. That to this very day, black and white Christians are not getting along. To this very day, 2021 and 2020, prominent black pastors are leaving the Southern Baptist Convention. And the Southern Baptist Convention, they're writing and doing and saying very stupid things. They're tearing down every point of goodwill that they have built up, and it's largely because they're in bed with politicians. And now they're losing all of the black folks that they gained and apologized to. And you wonder why we have the plague? We're not doing the basic thing that Jesus told us to do. We don't love each other. How are we going to love everybody out here in this world? So regardless of all other circumstances, anybody can become a member of this family if they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and with God's help repent of their sins. The second characteristic is this. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. See, this is the crux of the problem. People claiming to be saved and not doing the will of God. And the mark of a truly saved person, my dear friends, they are striving. Their life is characterized by doing the will of God. They're not flipping about sin. They're not with sin. They don't laugh at sin. They don't want to participate in sin. They are grieved to no end if they sin and if you sin. And they don't want to be around it. These are they who can barely watch a television show. They just sit there, lie there, shaking their head and getting frustrated at the foolishness of the show because they got the Holy Spirit of God living in them and they're striving to do the will of God. And they want to be around other Christians who are striving to do the will of God. In fact, dear friend, one of the marks of a Christian, if you want to know, if you're with the people of God, they are all about striving to do the will of God. because they know that's what God is about. The family of God is open to everyone. To get saved, and if you truly get saved, you're going to be all about the will of God and being obedient to God. It's not something that you're going to be trying to do in a perfunctory, mechanical fashion. It is driven from the inside through Christ, by Christ, and through the Holy Spirit. It's something that is really not you doing it. The Holy Spirit of God is working through you, and the Holy Spirit of God is warning you when you get tempted, don't do that. There's a voice on the inside to tell you, a still small voice, don't do that. Don't respond to that. Don't say that. You have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside that drives you and moves you to do righteous acts and godly things and the will of God. And you want to be around people like that. Not people you got to plead and beg to do what God called them to do. People who are eager to love God back and to fear God and to trust God and to obey God and to do God's will. These are the people of God. They're easily entreated. They're not hard to get along with. They're not cantankerous and angry and mean and hateful. These are the people of the devil. And I don't care if they're in your family and they're religious, but they're lost. If these people who claim to be saved don't manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth. There's something wrong somewhere. Why? Kind of based on the other series that I'm preaching right now regarding the new year. Every person who is in Christ is a new creature, my dear friend. If you are a new creature, if you are a child of God, the cheerfulness and the joyfulness and the peace of God and the love of God will flow through you. You can't suppress it. Jesus is pointing towards his disciples as examples of his true family members. They were unrelated to Jesus by earthly family ties. But they were Jesus' brothers and sisters in Christ, for real. Closer to him than his brothers. Not his mother, because I believe his mother was saved, but his brothers. And I'm not saying Mary was saved from the time Jesus was born. At some point, Mary got saved and because she knew that this was the Son of God. Because she knew better than anybody that this was God's Son. And these people were closer to him than his own brothers in the flesh, because they did the will of his Father. Matthew and Mark tell us that when Jesus called them, James and John immediately left their ship and their father Zebedee in order to follow Jesus. I don't know what Zebedee was up to. I don't know if Zebedee said, I got to stay here and take care of this business. I don't know what happened to Zebedee, but those young sons, they went ahead and went with Jesus. They did the will of God the Father, and so they are Jesus's brothers. And they were closer to Jesus. Than his blood brothers. Because they did the will of God. Again, how are you doing? Are you truly born again? And if you are you truly walking with God? Are you doing the will of God? Are you at least striving to do the will of God with the little knowledge that you have of God and of His Word? And if you want to know God's will, read His Word. And whatever you know of His Word, do that. And then God will give you more. And so, with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to that first point. Whosoever, that means anybody at any time. And so if you want to be saved, you can be saved because you are a whosoever. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Now, dear friend, if you are with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that's the beginning point. And I'm talking to church members. Every time I preach the gospel, I'm talking to church members, religious people, but lost. I have many family members who are that way. Religious, but lost. I'm talking to church members and I'm talking to others. What one pastor in Columbus, Georgia calls the irreligious. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from the power and the pain of sin and from the punishment of sin. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. For we all have sinned against God, unfortunately and sadly. We all have broken the Ten Commandments of God. Have you ever lied before? The answer is yes. Have you ever stolen anything before in your life? The answer is yes. Have you ever lusted in your heart or coveted in your heart for something or somebody? The answer is yes. Have you ever dishonored or disobeyed your parents? Expressed a bad attitude towards them? The answer is yes. Have you ever taken God's name in vain? I hope you have not done this, but you probably have. But the point is, that's just five of the Ten Commandments. You have at least broken one, and that one will land you in hell if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask Him to save you. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of our sin. We don't die because of the coronavirus plague. We don't die because of cancer. We die because of sin. These are just ways that we die. But the main reason why we die is because of sin. Pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, meanness, hatefulness, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness. And worse than that, worse than the punishment of death, is that if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, you will die and your soul will go to that awful place called hell to spend eternity. And hell is a very real place because Jesus Christ said so. Isn't it strange how that we believe all of the good stuff Jesus says, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But we don't believe that God would send us to hell, and that's very, very foolish, very unwise to think that way. Number one, God does not send you to hell. He did everything to save you from hell. If you go to hell, you send yourself to hell because you loved darkness more than you love light, and you rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you're on the road to hell right now. By the way, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. And Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, this is a very shocking sermon he preached on hell, to show the seriousness of going to hell. He said, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Jesus is saying here, my dear friend, it is better for you to cut off your hand and to cut off your foot, to amputate your hand and to amputate your foot, if it is taking you to sin against God and to love darkness more than light and to reject Jesus Christ, because sin will even make you do that. Reject your own salvation because you love sin so much. Jesus talked about how people love darkness rather than light. And Jesus is saying it is better for you to cut off your hand, have your hand amputated, your foot amputated, and go to heaven with him, than go to hell with both hands and both feet. So, dear friend, hell is a very serious place. Hell is a real place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. And hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you tonight. You don't have to go to hell. All you have to do is what Jesus Christ said in the most loving words ever spoken in the history of the world by anybody to the sinful human race. And it was said by none other than Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, you will not perish in hell, that is good news, "but have everlasting life." Dear friend, is it not good news when the judge says you don't have to go to jail or to prison? There's a woman in the news right now protesting, saying, "I should not have to go to jail. I was just following my leader. I can't go to jail. I don't want to go to jail." She would be happy if the judge said, "Okay, you don't have to go." Well, God is saying, you don't have to go to hell where you deserve to go because of my Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He paid your sin debt. Confess your sins. Believe in him. Believe that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Believe in my Son, and you will not have to spend eternity in the torments and darkness of hell. Now, friend, that's good news. If there ever was any good news, this is it. And it is my job to tell you this good news. And the good news is simple and is easy. That's right, I said it's easy. It was not easy for God. It was not easy for the Son of God. Remember now, we call Good Friday for a reason. It wasn't good for Jesus. He suffered and bled and died that day. From the top of his head was blood to the bottom of his feet. Some people say he was unrecognizable after they got through with him. Jesus Christ suffered, bled and died for our sins. That cruel death, was buried and rose on the third day. He paid our sin debt. That's what sin gets. He went through hell and went to hell for us so that we would not go to hell. He made it very easy for us so that we wouldn't mess it up. Notice that he did not say in this passage, you need to be in a church building. A whole lot of folk would go to hell today if they need to be in a church building, because many churches, the smart churches, are closed down. He didn't say that you had to be a member of a church to get saved. He did not say that you got to work for him all of your life and work for the Lord and work for the church all of your life to get saved. He didn't say you have to get baptized to get saved. He didn't say you had to speak in some unknown tongue to get saved. These are all things that people, men have added to it. Jesus tells you exactly how to get saved in a very simple fashion. He says, whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, or white. We're all precious in God's sight. The next word Jesus says is believeth. The word believeth means to trust in him, to have faith in him, to look to him, to rely on him, to depend upon him. Nothing else and nobody else. Dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it, in your heart. And if you do that right now, even before we pray, based upon the words of Jesus Christ, your destination will be changed from hell to heaven. See, this is why I told people this morning, I don't care if they're on a ventilator. If they're still living, they can hear me. I can't hear them, but they can hear me. You can't hear them, but they can hear me preaching. If you put the earphones on their ear and put the iPad up there, they might not be able to see me, but they can hear me. And guess what else they can do? They can believe in Jesus Christ with their heart, and they can pray to God. Don't let family members and friends, don't listen to me very carefully. Family members and friends, don't let their family members and friends go to hell because you're afraid to say anything to them because they're religious and they're churchgoers, but you think that they're not saved and you still won't witness them. If you're not going to witness to them, bring them to me. Invite them to come on over here. Call the nurse's aide. They have an iPad. They have several iPads and Kindles and everything else. They can pull me right on up. The patient has a phone there at the hospital. I'm sure you have bought them a Kindle or an iPad so that you can communicate with them. If they're on their sick bed at home, if you're not going to witness to them, let me do it. I can probably do it better than you anyway. Let me do it. I've been doing this for 41 years. Let me do it, because here's the thing. As soon as they shut their eyes in death, they will open their eyes in the torments of hell. That's the reality. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a free gift. Salvation is a free gift. You don't have to work for it. You just receive it. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, was buried, suffered, died, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God. And then call on his name to save your soul, and he will save you. If he can save me, as wicked and as evil as I was, and religious and lost, raised in church all of my life and was going to hell fast, even telling my friends I was going to drive the bus to hell, you know, because I had to fit in, because my dad and mom was a preacher. My dad was a well-known preacher. And I carried his name, and I hated it with a passion. So I had to be badder. I had to be worse than the others. I cursed and swore and told my girlfriends and my buddies that I would never be a preacher like my dad. Never, because they always said, "You're going to be a preacher like your dad. You're going to be a preacher like your daddy." And I hated that. I despised my dad when I was younger because he was a preacher and well known, and I carried his name, and I wanted to fit in like everybody else, and so I was more evil than the others. Talking about I was going to drive the bus to hell. We were on a school bus. I said, "I'm going to drive the bus to hell." And see, that's how lost people talk. You may have said something like that. You're going to party in hell with your buddies and drink some beer. There's not going to be any water in hell, much less beer. Okay, so get that out of your mind. There's not going to be any parties in hell. You're not going to be able to see your buddies in hell. You'll never see anybody else for the rest of your existence in hell. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Romans 10, 9 and 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. See, this is a question I had growing up as a member of the Baptist Church, member of the Holiness Pentecostal Church, and some other churches, Disciple Church. We were members of at least five or six churches growing up. And I saw, I heard people say, "Saved, I'm saved, are you saved?" Saved from what? I didn't know, they never told me to get saved from anything. It's being saved to what? To live like y'all and to gossip and wear long dresses? And no. I didn't know what they were talking about. I wish they had told me. They didn't. So I'm telling you. That's why I preach on hell every time. Because nobody ever told me. The white folks in my town never told me. The black folks in my town, my own parents never told me I was on my way to hell. And if I had died, I would be in hell today. And if I'm not careful, I'll get upset about that. The fact that, because I almost died several times. You have too. So get saved tonight. Let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Believing in your heart in Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting at your right hand. I acknowledge, Lord, that I am a sinner. And I admit and I confess that I have sinned against you. Just like the preacher said, I have committed those sins and more. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I do pray, amen. And dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book free of charge. It is a free download. You can read it starting almost immediately. The book is titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find a pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.